Welcome, everybody, to a live recording of the Health in the Real World podcast. I'm Chris Jahnke, joined today by Tina Blees. We're going to talk about igniting your inner spark. Creativity is the fuel that drives innovation and personal expression. This episode delves into the realm of creativity, showcasing how it exists in various forms across different aspects of life. So we can get that spark from anything, from art to problem solving. We'll explore different techniques and different stories that will help you unlock your inner spark. So we're here today with Tina Blees. Tina, welcome.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Chris. This is really exciting for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're a repeat podcast guest. Give us a quick introduction for those of us who maybe have, you know, not met you, or those people who were not in the first episode.
Oh, well, thank you again for that. Yes, my name is Tina. I am a lifelong person who lived in California. I lived in Stockton, California, my young life and my adult life. I lived in the Bay Area, San Jose, and I'm married. I have three sons. I'm married for 37 years. And about 4 years ago, my husband and I decided to take a leap and move from California to Idaho. And since then, I've lived in two places, one in a small town called Donley, and it was beautiful. Loved the nature, loved all the outdoors sporting events, you know, there's from skiing to in the wintertime, you know, cross-country skiing and snow. Just playing in the snow, you know, living in California, we weren't snow people. So it was a total 180 for us. And then, of course, in the summer, all the hiking and camping that Idaho provides.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. That must have been a big leap to just uproot. And you lived in, how long did you live in San Jose for?
About 45 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. That's, I you know, grew up in San Jose. I was born on the East Coast, but I moved to San Jose when I was a little baby. So Bay Area since 1 year old, and I'm 43 now. So getting up there. So yeah, great. San Jose to Idaho, and you kind of have some open space, some land, some freedom.
Yes. So, since August though, we did move to even a more rural place. It's 20 acres on a farm. Oh, wow. I named it Willow Aspen Farm, and it is our forever home now. But I want to, you know, to say, you know, you have a dream when you're really young and you kind of work towards those events by taking different steps. And talk about a inspiration and igniting a spark in my life. It's always been in the back of my head, and gosh, I'm actually living it now. So it's been a really fun adventure.
That's great. So what do you tell somebody? So it sounds like this has been your dream for a long time. It's just been in the background. What do you tell somebody about your experience taking the long view, right? That's a very long-term goal and vision that you've now realized. What would you tell that person who's struggling through their vision?
Is number one, just don't lose that vision, which is really hard because life can throw all kinds of events at us. So what I did in my 20s, I always had this thought I was going to live on a farm. And I lived my life that way. I was a very, you know, I call myself a closet hippie. So I had the garden in the background, in the backyard. I learned how to grow organic fruits and vegetables. Every time we moved into a home, as our family grew, you know, there was fruit trees in the backyard. There was the garden. There was even chickens there. You know, I was able to have up to four chickens in my backyard. So, you know, I followed my dream within the confines of my life at the time.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think, and just very kind of a safe way to take that next step as well. So you're still in San Jose, which is a very big city, but you're testing the waters, right? You're growing fruit on trees, you have chickens, and it's sort of like a way to dip your toe in. I think this is a really kind of a powerful mindset shift where you don't have to just jump fully into it, you can sort of take it one step at a time. I think that would maybe apply for a lot of different things. You know, you're interested in something, you can take one step into it. So talk to me about your life now, as far as, does it look the way that you intended? Are you still reaching? I know you mentioned forever home, right? You mentioned this may be the forever home. So is everything situated? Is everything lined up?
Well, I've always had the entrepreneurial type of mind. You know, it's always striving for something new and different. So to answer that question, no, we have the 20 acres. We have a house, we have a barn, and I have 6 chickens. It is a farmstead with a vision. So I'm starting this new vision. I have an idea of what my farm is going to look like, but it's not going to look like how I want it today. It's a 5-year, 10-year vision. So I have my husband, thank you, husband, making planter boxes for me. I haven't even planted my garden yet. There's still snow on the ground. So it is taking that longer vision and just doing step-by-step plan. I've always, you know, told my sons, you make a plan and you work that plan. So we are working that plan, but with common sense, with the idea of, well, I can't have a full garden right now. What I need is a planter box first and start planting tomatoes when it's time. You're going to do meat chickens as well. So that's also a timed thing. So you just have to have a plan.
Yeah, interesting. So you're sort of blending that creativity, that you know, that spark that we're talking about, with actual real world. How are we going to actually get this done?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
And how did that? Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
And with the business, that's what you do as well. Correct.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 100%. That's, you know, every new business started with a crazy idea, especially some of the ones that have never been done before. Right. Like, mm-hmm. You know, Tesla, Elon Musk, right. Even some of the technology that is here today. So did you encounter any resistance to your plan when you told people, or maybe there were other roadblocks, hurdles along the way? And how did you overcome those?
Absolutely. I've always been a rebel. I've always did new things, different things, all my life, but I never let that deter what I knew was right for me, was the right thing for my family, which as a mom was the right instinct. For another example, I homeschooled my children. And there was a lot of resistance with my family and friends with that as well. You know, I had friends who said, Tina, you can't teach your children. You're not a teacher. I went, well, but I love my children. So I'm going to do what I feel is best for them at the best way possible. Mm-hmm. Moving out of California. How can you move out of California? I mean, you've lived here all your life. And I said, well, I love California. I'm going to miss it, but I want a farm, and we can't afford a farm in California. So the next best thing was to, you know, to make that jump too. So it's, life changes, things change, your friends change, your focus changes, and it's about what's the right thing to do, which continues to ignite me on doing maybe the harder thing, but it ends up being really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. What advice would you give to somebody who feels disconnected from their inner spark or their inner passion?
I would say meet or talk to someone who is doing what you want, so that you can get some re-inspiration, to ask how they did it, to get more inspired. For example, for me, I went to the Homestead Conference in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho last year in June, and I was awestruck on how many young families were also choosing to live a more sustainable lifestyle. It was just beautiful. So that would be the first thing, is to surround yourself with, even if just one person, that you would like to learn more about and be.
Yeah. And I think that's easier now than ever with the internet. You know, we can go on YouTube and find somebody who's teaching something that we want to learn, reach out to them, develop that relationship with them, and really pick their brain as far as like, how did you get to where you are? I would love to be somewhere, you know, in the vicinity of where you are. What were some of the steps that you took? And then you can sort of make it your own, right?
Absolutely. Because everybody's unique in their goals, their dreams. I just never lost my dream, and I didn't let other people's opinions or thoughts get in my way. So, yeah, but it was always through love, you know, through just being interested and asking questions and doing what you feel is the right way to go.
Yeah, yeah. So you had this dream for a long time. You can talk about this particular or just in general. What's the importance of setting goals that are aligned with that inner spark? Even if that spark is way on the back burner, is there a way that you conceptualize that spark into more attainable, structured goals?
Mm-hmm. I think it's always a lot easier if your goals wrap around your passion about who you are. Like I mentioned at the beginning, I was already all about organic, natural, healthy living in a lifestyle. And so I pursued jobs, you know, that had that type of environment as well. So, you know, if you can make it a combined effort where you are doing what you love and you are getting income by learning more and sharing, then it just becomes a lifelong connection. You know, for example, if you love to ski, you know, get a job at a ski resort and become a ski instructor, and then become maybe the manager of the resort. You know, I mean, there's just, it's living your life with your passion, and, you know, then it becomes an inspiration, and then you just never want to retire because you love what you do.
Right, right. Yeah. And, you know, thinking back on my growth as a fitness trainer, I've been in the business for 20 years, but, and the last 15, I've been doing almost the same thing. But the first 5 years, when I think back on this, I didn't know what exactly I wanted to do. I knew I loved working out myself. Mm-hmm. I saw that it came easier to me than it probably does to a lot of people. And I really wanted to get into fitness, but I bounced from one job to the next. You would think that I didn't know what I wanted to do, but in fact, I knew exactly what I wanted to do, but I knew like, no, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. Did you have any kind of similar experience to that, or did you pretty much know the whole time that this is what you wanted to be doing?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because that's what I was just thinking as you were saying that. You know, you experiment, you take little steps, and if it doesn't work, then you course correct, I think that's the right word to use. And then you try something else, and then you course correct that. And then you kind of come up with the path that works best. Right. But experimenting is good because you learn more of what you love and what you don't love. I think where people get stuck is when they think they have to stay in a certain situation that they have no recourse. And there might be some situations when it comes to like a job and benefits and whatever, but you can always take night classes to learn something new or have a side job that you are developing along with, you know, what is putting food on the table so that maybe eventually it flips and you can quit that day job and then follow your passion. And that will continue to, as this little thing we're talking about, ignite you to continue to do new and different things. To expand.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah. I like that. You know, if you have something that interests you, it can be a hobby for now and then keep taking those baby steps into it until, like you said, it could potentially flip at some point. Mm-hmm. How would you say, you've kind of answered this a bit, but I would ask you this directly. How can individuals identify the difference between maybe a fleeting interest versus a genuine inner spark that aligns with their true purpose?
I just think is taking the baby steps.
Yeah.
It really, for another example, my oldest son thought he wanted to be a drum player. So we got him drums. He did it for 8 months. And they go, no, Mom, that wasn't the right thing.
Yeah, right.
You know, and so you just experiment. And as long as it doesn't break the bank or put you in kind of any
right.
you know, negative situation, yeah, give it, you know, give those little experiments a try, because you won't know if you like it or not until you do. Right. It's almost like giving yourself permission to reinvent yourself. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That is okay. And you should, because, you know, when you're 20 years old, you should reinvent yourself when you're 30 and 40 and 50 and 60. Right. And that goes all across with your health and wellness, with your exercise regime, because, I mean, I probably you would say you can't do what you do when you're 60. You can't work out like when you're 20.
I mean, nope.
So you like accept it and you have fun with it, but it doesn't mean you can't challenge yourself and switch things up.
Right, right. Yeah, things are constantly changing, evolving, going different directions. And I really like that concept of baby steps. I'm trying to think of some examples, but again, getting into fitness with my kids too. I want to expose them to a lot of different things, but I think it was a couple of years ago, my son wanted to join this traveling baseball team, but he had just started playing baseball. And I said, hey, why don't we, you know, take a little baby step. And he's gotten a lot better and he's starting to like it. So I said, okay, that's good. So you are where you are and we're not going to try to push you too fast. Mm-hmm. So good. That's very good. Gosh, I had another, you know, when it just like vanishes out of your mind. Okay, moving on. So resilience, I think, plays a big role, right? Mm-hmm. As far as having that ability to take those baby steps, to pull back, to try something new. And I think it's not so much resilience at, you know, you don't have to do the same thing over and over again, but just the effort and the attitude. What would you say for yourself, as far as resilience goes, what role has that played in getting you to where you are today?
Well, it's really hard when you have a plan and it doesn't work, and that can just, you know, shut that door and you just feel horrible. The resilience part is, okay, feel that, you know, cry for a minute, but not for a day, not for a month, not for a year. That's it. You just, okay, that didn't work. Let's move on.
Yeah. No, I like that. And it's, you know, this is sort of coming together for me in, you know, conceptualizing this, because if you're taking baby steps and you fail or, you know, something doesn't work, it's not a big deal. But I think we really need to keep our eyes open, because those little failures can, you know, if we don't keep our eyes open, they can turn into big failures if we keep going down that direction that we don't want to go down. And so I think I would summarize it just, you know, having that inner spark, that desire to do something, to live your kind of authentic life. What can I bring to the world? What does the world need? What does the world want from me? Try to harmonize that. Mm-hmm. But then taking baby steps. You know, when I went to college, I majored in film. I wanted to do films. And I realized pretty quick that that wasn't what I wanted to do, but I didn't know what I actually wanted to do. And so I was a little bit wandering for a bit. And this is actually the thing that I was going to say a minute ago that I just remembered. And I sort of walked into this career as a fitness professional because I just said yes when I was a junior in college. And, you know, I was playing like pickup basketball, and my good friend and I would challenge each other. And, you know, we were decent, but, you know, nothing extraordinary. You know, we weren't on the team or anything, but the team was having a tryout tomorrow. And he said, let's just do it. Let's just try out. It'll be fun. I said, sounds great. Let's do it. And we tried out and very quickly realized we're in way over our head. Like, these guys are amazing basketball players, but we played our best. Didn't make the team. The coach said, hey, we like your effort. We like your hustle. You know, come and be like a manager. You know, you could be on the scout team. You could, you know, we'll beat you up in practice, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we did that for a year. And at the end of that year, one of the players who was a senior, he was graduating, and he was good, but he wasn't, you know, Michael Jordan good. He got recruited to go play semi-pro ball in Germany. And that just sparked in me. I'm like, you know what? I'm only 21 years old. I want to try this. I hired a trainer. I hired a coach. And for a year and a half, I tried it and it didn't work. But in that year and a half, I fell in love with fitness even more. And I realized that you can actually make a career out of it. So there's my soapbox for the day in saying that if you think maybe this is the general direction, it might not be the exact direction, but let's see if that could lead to something else.
That's beautiful. And if I may, that's kind of what has inspired me to do what I do today, if that's okay if I share that
part. Yeah, tell us that story, yeah.
All right. So being a mom, you know, I knew it was just my job to keep my sons healthy. So I was already on that health, you know, thing, you know, eating organic, eating dirt, you know, dirt's good, rolling down the hills and grass, that whole thing. But I hadn't yet switched my consumer products to non-toxic ones yet. And I needed to teach my sons how to clean a bathroom. Yeah, got to do that. Got to do it young, make a marriage material.
Yeah.
So I was looking for non-toxic green cleaning products. And this was almost 20 years ago. And there wasn't a lot of choices. And so a friend told me about this online store. And I, you know, bought their products from there. And I went, oh, well, this is fantastic. And then I started telling my friends about it. And, you know, and then I started doing more research on the importance of living in a home that is toxic free and how that affects our immune systems and how it affects our health. And so I created, you know, a business around that by educating others on that, how important it is. And, you know, if you feel crappy in your home because it's making you sick, then, you know, you're not going to be inspired to try all these different changes and reinventions over your life.
Was I muted during that whole time?
You're muted.
I had a car driving by. Okay. Well, here we go again. So that's a really good segue. How do people, and this is live too, people, we go live with this, anything can happen, right? So how do people learn more? How do people get in touch with you if they want to learn more about, you know, cleaning up their homes, you know, getting better products to use in their homes? How do they get in touch?
That's a great question. I'm my website is simplygreenhealthyhome.com. And that's what I do. I ask a person who's interested, what about their health or their home they want to improve? And we just kind of walk down those cabinets. What I pride myself in is to educate why. You know, if a person is getting migraines, it could be the products that they're bringing into their homes. And so there's things that we can do right away. And there's also things that we can do in the long term. But it is understanding that as consumers, we have choices and what to bring into our homes. And so I just help with those who are already on that wellness path to continue to make those wellness choices so that they can feel healthy in their home and feel confident and in control of their health.
Sounds good. Well, again, give us that website one more time.
Simplygreenhealthyhome.com.
Simplygreenhealthyhome.com. Well, I want to thank Tina Blease today for joining us on the podcast. Tina, thank you so much for joining. Everybody go check out the website and you can see different options for making your home as healthy as it can be. Thanks, Tina.
Thank you for this time, Chris. I really appreciate you.